Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If they admit that you actually worked for it, then they have to ask themselves why they don't have it. That is too painful. So it's easier to call it luck because luck means that they did not fall short. Luck for them lets them off the hook. And that's what I'm saying.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina.
Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, angels. How is everyone feeling? I am feeling momentous, okay? The weather is beautiful. We hit over 8,000 followers on the podcast Instagram. This is insane. My short-term goal for now is 10,000. I feel like we absolutely can make that happen, probably in the next 2 weeks, if even that. And I just find it particularly interesting how amazing God is and how he works, because the fact that this subject in particular has been what has been taking off, and we're going to be discussing it more today, as you guys can see from the title, we're going to be talking about signs that somebody envies you, all right? And the fact that this was something I dealt with so early on in my career, and for this to be the very thing that feels like it's revitalizing my career, which was completely unintentional, is just so amazing. And I had a friend of mine say to me yesterday, you know, this is a subject you can go on and on about because you have navigated so many different situations of envy, jealousy, being misunderstood, misjudged for so long. And you have a lot to say in regards to this subject, which is absolutely true. So make sure that if you are seeing this video on YouTube, that you are hyping it up. And if you're just listening, wherever you are listening, make sure that you rate the podcast 5 stars. So let's jump right on into this. I'm willing to bet that you have met someone that makes you feel like when you shared good news with them, you feel worse when you walked away from sharing that news with them. Like, you got the job, you got the promotion, you got the relationship, you got the apartment, and you were so excited about it because, hello, who would not be excited about elevating in life? And then somebody that you may have shared this with that you trusted and you expected to be in your corner is somehow by the end of the conversation making you feel like you're the one that has to kind of downplay it. You're the one that's having to kind of comfort them. You're almost apologetic of even sharing that with them. Like, you're feeling bad for existing in the way that you do. All right. And you're almost apologizing for being happy in general. And I'm sure many of us can relate to this. And so we're going to be diving into more about this today, because what you felt in that moment, you were absolutely not crazy. You were not being dramatic. You were picking up on something that is very real and that most of us, honestly, I feel like are not taught to name. Because if there's one thing that I learned about, that I have learned about envy in my life, is that it's like a weird gaslighting situation almost, where you were actually gaslighting yourself, maybe the other individual maybe as well, but it's so intangible at times that you will find yourself having discussions with yourself at home, in your car, and talking yourself out of thinking that you're overthinking, what have you. So as you guys also know on this podcast, we are going to be talking about multiple things: love, relationships, faith, and really just protecting your peace without losing your softness. And so I'm very happy that you guys are spending time here with me today. And today's episode has been one that I've been sitting with for a while. I mean, I've been in social media now for about 7 years. And very early on into my career, I experienced so much emotional turmoil and warfare, I would say. And I had no clue that this is really the name of the game. And if you are someone that even wants to be in social media, you don't have to exclusively be in social media in order to experience the emotion, in order to experience or be a victim of envy, right? You can be in any position in life or even have really nothing that you feel like is worth being envious over, but you would be genuinely shocked. So these are the signs that someone in your life genuinely envies you. And it's not always going to look like the loud, villainous, or obvious type of thing. It's going to be quiet, all right? And this is the kind of envy that wears a smile and calls itself your friend. I say itself because it is an it. It is a demon, okay? So I don't want you guys to walk away from this episode feeling paranoid, because I'm not one of those people that feels like everyone's a hater, trust no one, I hate people. No, that's not the energy that I'm trying to give off. We're gonna do this with discernment and not accusation, because the goal is not to go through life, you know, feeling so hypervigilant or going through your phone trying to delete people, but it's to really understand what you're feeling so that you can stop gaslighting yourself about it. All right, let's get into you. So I have particularly seven signs, and I'm pretty sure that out of all these seven, you're going to be able to identify somebody and think of a specific person in your life. So sign number one would be the congratulations that doesn't land. And what I mean by this is the words that they're using are technically correct, like congratulations, good for you, must be nice. But the energy underneath it is very flat feeling, or it's cold, or it's rushed. Like they want to change the subject as humanly fast as possible because they don't want to be stuck on you. Or as soon as you say something about yourself, they're following it up with something that's happening for them as well. Do you understand what it is that I'm trying to say? I now remember looking back, there was this person that I was friends with and her energy was just so bizarre. And I was just like, what am I picking up on? That's another thing. Like it doesn't feel like neutral ground. You have to pay attention to those feelings where it doesn't feel neutral. The energy is not neutral here. You almost feel like, should I say this? Do I mention this? You start to have all these thoughts in your head. And I remember I was with a particular individual along with another mutual friend. And every time I would speak, she would be cutting me off. Every single time I mention something, she's cutting me off, literally to interrupt, to talk about something she's done. And at that point, to be honest, when you're dealing with a person like that, your compliments of them and your sort of congratulations for them, it starts to feel performative. Do you understand what I'm saying? It starts to feel performative for the simple fact that they are fishing for compliments for their accomplishments and achievements, as opposed to letting it organically happen. Like the energy just feels off. It feels off for a reason. Like they're trying to, I'm sorry. Like, I just had to say that. What were you saying? And what are you going to do? Get back to the very thing that you were just talking about? No, it feels awkward. The vibe is off. Here's the thing about having genuine happiness for someone. It's warm. It's curious. When somebody is truly glad for you, they'll ask questions like, wait, tell me everything. You know, how did this happen? How do you feel? Like envy does not ask questions. Okay. Envy says the polite thing and then moves on. And it's because sitting in your joy is not the place that envy wants to sit in. They don't want to sit there and let the moment marinate and talk about how happy, you know, they are for you. It's always switching the subject back to them, right? Or being completely flat, uninterested. Oh, that's so amazing. And you feel like this weird energy, like, okay, like, why do I almost feel like you're giving me the vibe of, okay, girl, we get it. Good things happen to you. Like, that's great. Like, you know, that you did a great thing, but I mean, I don't really know, like, that's not my life. So I don't really like know what to tell you. So, you know, great. You know, like, it's just weird. And now you're just sitting there in regret wondering, okay, like, should I not have said anything? Should I have followed my gut? I mean, I was feeling weird mentioning what I was going to mention before anyway. And after a while, you start to pick up on a pattern that that feeling that you got prior to sharing said thing with that person, you now realize to tap into that feeling for the future. Where you're like, okay, anytime I'm getting that stirring in my spirit of hold up, swole up, let me not share what I'm going to share. That's because God is protecting you from just going on and sharing this with this person, because they're just going to find a reason to shut it down. They're just going to find a reason to try and, you know, have an evil spirit towards everything that you're doing. They already hyper watch you anyway. Okay, let's keep a buck. Okay, people that are envious, they want to study you, and yet they want to make it seem like you don't deserve any of the accomplishments that you have, or they try to justify it. Oh yeah, you're just lucky, or they pick you apart and study you to try and make themselves feel better, to come up with reasons of why you are the way that you are. You're where you're at because your dad has money. You're where you're at because your boyfriend did this for you. You're where you're at because you were just lucky like that. Just the list can go on and on. Sign number two. This is huge. They're envious people will keep you tethered to your past. Oh, don't talk about change. Don't talk about change. Change, they don't know what that is. You're not allowed to change. What do you mean? You're up, you're glowing, and right on cue, here comes then with the reminder of who you used to be. Remember when you couldn't even, it's like, all right, wow. Okay, what's your point? And then they're like, well, to even just think like a couple years ago, like you were just like living out of your car. Like, it's just so crazy to me that you're like here now. Like, wow, like that's so amazing. Does that seem like someone that's happy for you? And it's always in a way to keep you humble. They are doing this to remind you, well, don't forget where you came from. Just like if you were to make, this happens a lot, especially in the faith pipeline, I want to say. I don't even want to say the religious pipeline because I believe in relationship over religion. But in the faith pipeline, people will make people feel so unqualified for changing their lifestyle. When I started to become more vocal about my belief in the Bible, and people just, it was rattling up a lot of demons, I'll tell you that much. But the point is like, people will try and say, well, girl, weren't you just in the club and drinking and doing this and doing that? Like, they don't want you to forget those things because in their mind, well, there's no way you could have just changed and genuinely, because they can't do it. So they're projecting that onto you to make it seem like, well, this can't be real, and try to make you like impose imposter syndrome on you so that they can feel better about themselves and convince you. If they can convince you to see you the way that they see you, oh, this is fake, this is whatever, because they don't feel worthy of putting in the work to do it for themselves. Let me tell you something. I saw something that Alex Hormozi had posted and I reposted it. And he was saying, like, you have to learn how to endure suffering. And what better person to suffer for than the person that you are trying to be? So sacrifice and suffering is what you're going to have to endure in this life in order to be great in life. Okay. It sounds pessimistic, but it's exactly that. You're going to endure. Even if you are a kind, nice person, you who's done nothing to a certain person that is being envious of you. You being a kind and nice person did absolutely nothing to warrant it, but yet here we are. So they're constantly gonna bring up your past. They wanna humble you. Well, don't forget where you came from. So I don't know how you really think that you could change. And to them, it's I'm just being real with you. That's what they think that they're doing. But check the timing of every time that they're doing that. A real friend is going to remind you of how far you come to celebrate you. Envy is going to bring up your past as a way to shrink you back down to a size that they're comfortable with. I remember when I was going through just so much emotional warfare from someone that I was friends with earlier on into my career. And I'll never forget, they were creating fake pages of me saying, is this what a classy person would do? Or all these different things. And mind you, that wasn't even something that was shameful or anything from my past that I was trying to hiding. Like, I didn't come from that to this sort of thing. It wasn't even that sort of transformation, but it was the sole purpose that the principle of that happening was to try and knock me down so that I can see myself the way that they see me, right? But if you really think about it, ladies and gents, okay, number one never worries about number two. All right. And you wouldn't feel the need to knock anyone down if you didn't already feel that they were above you. And that's what envy does. Envious people already view you as above them. And so they need to knock you down so that you, so that they feel that you can face reality and see that and see yourself. Like I said, see yourself through their lens. Just put it like that. That's what they want. Okay. And then they feel like they're justified. And that's why they're always trying to tether you to your past, because they want to prove to themselves, oh, see, well, you're not really this person that you say you are, or whatever the case is. I remember, like, everyone that knows me knows that I've never drank in my entire life. It's not really, I don't wear it as a personality. Okay. Like it's not a big deal. And I remember that individual specifically saying to me one time, like, that I was judging her for not drinking. I was not doing anything of the sort. You're not the only person that's in my life that drinks socially or what have you. And even was saying lies about me, saying that I was imposing veganism upon them and trying to convince me that veganism is unhealthy and all these, like, just, it was just so demonic, especially looking back now. It was really just a whole bunch of kaflum. And I realized this is the thing that also makes it scary is, do not forget that just because someone has on the outside what seems like more than you doesn't mean that they still cannot be envious of you. There are, of course, tangible things, but those intangibles, oh, girl, very real. People are hoping that you don't see who you are. I was looking at photos of myself from high school, and I just thought about now being in my 30s, how many people really tried to shut me down. And in high school, like, I was so resilient without even really trying. Like, I was still myself. I still dressed up to go to school when certain individuals would make comments like, oh, why do you think it's a fashion show? Where do you think you're going? All these different things. And I still just was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I love it. Like, I don't really care what anyone has to say. But I feel like further along into adulthood, I would definitely say in your 20s, you become more impressionable, where those things and those opinions and thoughts of people sometimes tend to land a little bit more, especially in my case where I felt like it was just a complete smear campaign for years and years and years, completely unwarranted. And so I definitely know a thing or two about this, and I know what I'm talking about. But people just want to either, if they can't find things in your past, they will make things up to try and make you feel like you're not really who you present to be, because they're in awe of who you naturally are and how you present yourself to be. And that alone makes them feel like you think you're better than them. You know why? Because they think you're better than them. Wow, she really is who she says she is. Wow, she really does wake up in the morning and read her Bible. I lie about that. Wow, she really is practicing a way of life that she presents on the internet. I'm lying about those things. Does she, like, what does she think of me? Mind you, I'm not even thinking about this person at all. But because they are, it makes them angry. When people are living a lie and they're living a facade, or they simply do not have the confidence to go after the things that they want, and especially if it's something that you possess, oh, prime real estate for becoming an envious person and coming up with every excuse in the book for, you know, to justify their feelings towards you, okay? So, like I said, they're always going to try and shrink you down by keeping you tethered to your past, and that is a great sign of envy as well. Sign number 3 is the copycat. Oh my goodness, all right? This one is sneaky because on the surface, it looks like flattery. I remember the first time I experienced someone that was a copycat of me, and I didn't really care. Like, I didn't think anything of it. Like, I was one of those people where I kind of still am to some degree, where I feel like imitation is the greatest form of flattery. But I do understand that there is levels to this. And it certainly doesn't feel good, I'm assuming, in, let's just say, the social media landscape, perhaps, where you put so much work into something, or, you know, I guess, and you feel like someone's, like, literally stealing your whole personality, your whole vibe, and trying to originate it like it's theirs. But I remember when I was in high school, I've always been a girl's girl. I've always been someone that, you know, just wants to be a girl. I'll teach you how to do your makeup. Like, I'll, you know, all the different things. I've always been into hygiene or what have you. And so I helped out a girl that was my friend in high school. And at around this time, there was MySpace was, like, such a thing. And I told her I was getting bangs or whatever. And she ended up getting the bangs before I did. and started wearing contacts in her eyes. After I told her I wanted to start wearing contacts and things, and then she started talking to the guy that likes me, and I was so naive. I was thinking, like, we were all friends, like, no big deal, like, truly, like, genuinely naive, because who would think that someone at, like, 14 would be this diabolical? And she basically tried to literally be me, like, tried her best to try and, you know, do her hair like mine, like a little bit kind of dress like me. She would, around the time we were on Uvu, I don't know if you guys remember that, but I'll never forget the feeling of when we were on Uvu and I wanted to genuinely connect and have a conversation with her. And she said, yeah, but like, what are you wearing tomorrow? And I just remember even at that age, the feeling that I felt of, why does it feel like you want to know what I'm wearing tomorrow so that you can wear it too? It's not giving like, oh, let's be twins. It's giving like, I own this now. I'm going to siphon ideas out of you and I'm going to act like I originated it. That is the exact vibe that she was giving to me. Like, she was literally taking things from me and then acting like she was the originator of the concept. And it was bizarre. I mean, what do you do at that age over something like that? Like, I didn't know how to navigate a relationship like that. It made no sense. And so, like I said, it's very sneaky because this is an easy way for you to gaslight yourself. Like, you're thinking like, am I like tripping? Am I overthinking the situation? I mean, this is my friend, right? So my friend would not do this to me. But these people, they'll start to mirror your style, your decisions, your moves, the way you talk, the things that you're into. And then maybe, yeah, like I said, imitation is a form of flattery, but envious people copying has a tell, okay? They'll never admit it. They'll never ever admit that they are inspired by you or anything. In fact, they'll act like they literally got there first. Like, oh my gosh, I had those, wait, remember I told you I was gonna go get those sneakers? Wait, that's so crazy. You said you were gonna get these? Oh, wow, that's so funny. No, I actually really like these because, you know, I love fashion, right? Like, yeah. So I was gonna actually get these already myself. Like, they're always trying to beat you to something, or they wanna pretend and act stupid. Like, oh, they had no idea that you were into said thing. And the thing is, like I said, the vibe is off. You can feel that they are lying. And you are confused, like, why are you lying about this? If we're friends, why does it feel like a competition? If we're friends, there are going to be certain things that we like that are the same. I don't care that you have the same sneakers as me or whatever, but this is how you know it's a spirit of envy, because they want to siphon everything from you and act like they originated it. And that's why it's a parasitic-like relationship, really. That's what it feels like, because you're just left drained and confused and trying to figure out if you're overthinking things, because this is someone that is supposed to be your friend. So you're feeling like you're misinterpreting everything and just constantly gaslighting yourself. And it's such a cycle. It is honestly sick. But that's the thing too. These people, envious people specifically, they want what you have, but they need to believe that they thought of it themselves. That's why you have situations like that. They refuse to take on the idea that you gave it to them. That's how you know it is the spirit of envy and copycatting. It is not coming from a place of, oh my gosh, I love that bag. I'm gonna go get that. Anytime I see my friends with something that I really like, I'll be like, oh my gosh, send me that. I wanna go get that. It's not me eyeing what they have, showing up with it and being like, I didn't know you have these. I'm so sorry. Yeah, like, you're not the only one that loves fashion. I love fashion too. Like, what? Like, that's how you know the vibe is off. And also, peep the spirit behind it. It's this like rage that they have of the thought that you could be putting them onto something. Oh, absolutely not, because who are you? Because in their mind, while they're trying to siphon inspiration from you and leech off of you, at the same time, they wanna bring you down and stomp on you. So to them, it's such an insult. Oh, how can you say that I'm copying you or whatever? Like, who are you? They wanna try and devalue you. With that being said, there's also reverse clout chasing. This is something I've always wanted to talk about, and I'm not sure if I ever had in the past, but especially when you're dealing with someone, for me in my respective case, it was difficult because on the outside, it seemed like an individual had more followers, more, you know, different things that you can put it like this. At the very basis of things, more followers, right? So you would really not think that the person with less followers would be the person that's being targeted or anything like that. But this was one of the cases where it was the intangibles. And I was actually the one that was being copied, and I was the one that was being accused of copying. Let me tell you something. I may be a lot of things in life, but a copycat is never one of them at all. And if I genuinely feel inspired by somebody, I have no problem saying like, oh yeah, I heard so-and-so say this quote the other day. And so, blah, blah, blah. Like, really, at the end of the day, nothing is new under the sun. But like I said, it was such a crazy feeling for me to experience constantly being called copying and copycat, all these different things, when I never even looked at this person's stuff. And I'm not even saying that to be shady. I've never consumed this person's like anything, like at all. I'm not inspired by this person. I was never inspired by that person. I was friends with that individual, but I was friends with that individual doing my own thing. And it became very difficult to coexist with that person without them wanting to siphon everything that I had and kind of make me work for them sort of thing. And then whatever, it blew out of proportion and for no reason. And I've made so much peace with all situations from my past because I realized, like, one, I learned a great and valuable lesson, and I know what to look for now when it comes to certain people. But also, I had such pure intentions from day one. So I was always able to sleep at night, which is also why it was very hurtful to be sought after with such hatred and vitriol, because I truly, and I'll never know what I've ever done to this person, because, well, the fact is, I do know. I've never done anything to, you know, the individuals in my life that have been, you know, horrible to me. It was just jealousy. It was just envy. That's what it was. At its core, it was envious. It was, I don't think you deserve this. I'm going to take it from you. Because if you truly value yourself and have a lot of value, you don't try to tear down other people because you're obviously so afraid that they're going to be a threat to you. So you want to knock them down. And there was just so much to that because it lasted for so many years. I thought my silence would completely make everything go away, but that in fact was not the answer. And I don't regret how I handled the situation. I would say that the only thing I do regret is maybe disappearing as much as I did, because I should have just realized in hindsight that that was kind of a level of elevation, but I've just never experienced hatred to that degree before. And especially with what I was starting to do, being on the internet, it was very loud and overwhelming. And you know, when you're starting out in social media, everyone says you need to have thick skin, but what people don't realize is in order to have thick skin, you have to literally get scars. Like you have to go through things in order to have the thick skin. And that is ultimately, you know, what gave me the thickest skin of all, is enduring through, you know, mainly like that situation, but also a couple more situations, of course. Like I said, like I've dealt with, you know, envy and things like that in my teens and stuff, but to deal with it in my 20s on such, it felt like such a bigger scale was, and it was so unprovoked, was just, it was absolutely demonic, really, to be honest. But I just will never forget, like, constantly being accused of something that I was literally not doing at all. And it was bizarre because I'm probably sure that that person was, like I said, revert clout chasing, where the very things they were accusing me of doing and projecting were the very things that they were doing. And I think what hurt in the moment too was that for some reason people were believing, you know, that party. And I'm like, there's no way that people can believe what that party is saying, because we're such different people. Like, respectfully, like, there's no way that people genuinely are thinking I'm drawing inspiration from certain people. Like, you know what I mean? It's like accusing me of copying a grungy type of like vibe or girl. Like, there's no correlation between me and that person. Like, we're like yin and yang. Like, and it's not harmonious either. Like, we are very different aesthetics, all the different things. But that's how I know it was definitely spiritual. But I want to also say that do not preclude the fact that when someone's envious of you, it can be the reverse clout clout chase, or it could be someone that's accusing you of copying them, right? This corresponds with the idea of someone copying you and then trying to act like they originated the ideas that you are the one that you gave them, or how you carry yourself and they study you and then they act like, oh, it's just a coincidence that we both are saying the same thing and we both are wearing the same thing. Like you can just tell the vibe is off behind it. And with that being said, I do remember there was one situation in particular with someone where we were going to do something and I saw the person pick up my notebook and read what I wrote down and then literally act like we came up with the same concept. And they have no idea that I literally saw them read through the notes that I wrote. And I'm like, what do you do in a situation like that? Right? Like, who's going to really believe you? Like, it's just ridiculous. And so because these people, they tend to pedestalize themselves, right? Obviously through you, they're like a giant standing on someone else's shoulders, right? They're so insecure, and it doesn't matter how many followers you have, all the things in life, like a lot of, you know, successful people or even people that just have a lot of numbers on social media, or even maybe someone that has a higher position than you at your job, doesn't mean that they're happy. Happy people do not do certain things. All right, moving along here. Sign number four, they will minimize your work by saying things like, oh, well, you just got lucky. You just have the right connections. It must be nice to just have things fall in your lap. You know, anything that takes the effort that you put in and erases it is what they're always going to target. They have to make you feel like you do not deserve the things that you have. You don't deserve these things literally at all. All right. And it's only because of them why you got to where you got to. I definitely have been, unfortunately, a person that has experienced someone that has felt that way. Bizarre. And I'm willing to bet that it's probably happened to you as well. You know, people literally thinking that they somehow are the reason for your success. Honestly, it makes me laugh. Like when I think it's so unfathomable, or they are trying to conjure up reasons to justify why they think you got to where you got to. Oh, you know, well, usually when you're a slimmer person, you know, you just are going to attract certain types of people because maybe they like a guy that you like. And so they're trying to separate what's going to make you, you know, what made you get this opportunity versus, you know, me, or what made you get opportunities, period. You know, oh, well, didn't you like DM them before and like they left you on read? Like maybe they finally saw it and that's why you finally got the brand deal. Like there's always some sort of backhanded comment about why you've achieved the things that you have, you know? And here is the psychology of it. And I really want you to hear this. If they admit that you actually worked for it, then they have to ask themselves why they don't have it. That is too painful. So it's easier to call it luck. It's easier to downplay you because luck means that they did not fall short. Luck for them lets them off the hook. And that's what I'm saying. So if someone is out of shape and are always picking at you, oh my gosh, like you're so skinny. I had someone that I have known in the past and I remember her making a comment saying, oh, I can't wait till so-and-so comes over because at least she doesn't make me feel fat. I mean, it was just a random comment out of the blue as I was looking into the mirror. And I'm thinking like, now I'm uncomfortable because now I feel in my head that you're sitting there stirring about the fact that I'm like in a different shape than you. And this is like, it's like a Freudian slip. Like that's really what you're thinking in your head. Like what? Like, and what am I supposed to say to that? Like, how do I respond to that? Instead of them taking accountability and maybe changing their lifestyle so that they can achieve results to look how they want to look, they would rather just talk garbage about everyone else. Like I said, studying people, picking them apart, because by doing this, by minimizing it and just chalking it up to just this, just that, then that means that it justifies why they haven't gotten it. Well, I don't have rich parents. Well, I wasn't born skinny. Well, I'm not a blonde. Well, I like all different types of things, right? Like to justify why they are not where they want to be. And so they cannot give you credit because like I said, it's going to make them realize you actually did work to look the way that you look, right? You do work to some degree to have yourself looking put together. But if people can downplay that, right? Then it makes them feel better to justify it. Oh yeah, no. You know, that's why people, if they can constantly project onto you and convince themselves that you're the fake person, right? It's a delusion. They're extremely deluded people. If they can convince themselves that you're the fake one, you're this, you're that, then it makes them feel like they're the real ones for realizing it. Oh yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Sign number five, envious people will disappear when you're up and they will reappear when you're down. Oh my goodness. Please pay attention when people are most available to you, because there is a certain kind of person who is incredible when you're going through things. They're present, they're attentive, they're the first to call you. But the second that your life gets good, silence. And then it's funny how this works, because the moment that something falls through for you again, here they come, right back, front row, available to you again to talk about your problems with you. And this is a very tricky one right here, because it's difficult to realize, wait, this person's only coming around conveniently when I'm having like a bit of like a moment here. You can easily think, oh, they're always there for me when things get tough. It can easily be chalked up to that. They're always there for me when things get tough. But where are they when things are going well for you? On the flip side, I will say this. There are also people that while things are going up for you, they're not just silent. They're plotting against you. As they see your star is rising and you're going here, they can't stand it. They got to do something to sabotage it. They must do something to sabotage it. And that's exactly what, in my case, what happened to me is that all of a sudden, all this hate, vitriol started sparking. And I'm like, what on earth even is this? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, where is this coming from? Like, I don't even understand what just happened here. And it's as I'm rising and things are going so well for me, they can't stand to see things going well for me, because it makes them feel like, well, why her and not me? Obviously, it stems from a place of envy. So the moment things are also can fall apart for you, they could have something to do with that, right? Depending on the situation, let me be clear. And now they feel like, ha, yes, now everyone's seeing who they really are. But really it's a projection of how they feel. And so they will take those moments, again, siphon your energy and they're parasites, okay? And they just have to be involved in some way, shape, or form. That's why even someone commented on one of my videos the other day and said, but what's so weird about envious people is they love to still be connected to you to some degree. It's true. And whether it's overt connection of still following you on socials or whatever, they will have a bunch of fake profiles and very much be up to date with everything that's going on in your life. It's actually scary. Like, if you don't like someone, you do not tend to watch them. I knew once I separated myself, I had zero interest in keeping up with anyone from my past. Let's put it like that. Zero interest in these people. I'm not watching you, stalking, nothing. I don't know anything about what's going on with people that I no longer associate with. I have no clue. But to realize that that person knew every single thing that was going on with me, new friends that were in my life, like all different types of things, it really showed me the lengths that people can go because they have a mental illness. And that's what envy ends up turning into, because vengeance and sabotage and manipulation and drama and chaos, they create all these things because they want the attention they feel like you have, and they need to take it from someone. They have to siphon it from someone, because what they don't realize that they're validating to themselves is they're not worthy of doing it on their own. That's why some people, they have to start drama with another person to, you know, be on the internet or start drama in your job, you know, so that their boss can see that, you know, they are the better qualified worker than you. Like, there's always gonna be something. They have to take something from someone else in order to feel like they deserve something, because it makes them feel like they won, right? That is not a friendship, okay? When somebody is disappearing whenever things are going well for you and they're done, they are reappearing when things are down, is somebody who's only comfortable when they feel like you're beneath them. You ever experience a friend that the friendship is so perfect because maybe they make more money than you. They have a job that they love and whatever. Success means different things to different people. And the second things start to climb for you, you hear nothing from them. They can't even congratulate you or anything. And you will get this feeling. Like, I remember I used to get this feeling with certain individuals in my life where I thought, oh my gosh, when I'm actually nervous for when things take off for me, because I don't know how they're going to be able to navigate the friendship, because it's all well and good when they feel like they're, you know, good in life, but then, and because they're used to seeing you in that light. And then when things start to take off for you, it's like, oh, they can't be around for it. Right. Okay. And sign number six is they will compete over things you were never competing on. So if you share something good, instead of receiving it, they gotta top you. They have to one-up you. They're one-uppers. You bought a car. Oh, well, I was actually just about to get like the newer version of that one. You're excited about a trip and they went somewhere better last year. Every piece of your good news becomes a starting gun for a race that you had no idea that you were in. And I remember my friend and I were friends with someone mutually who was like this. She was such a one-upper. Like everything has to be like, oh, well, I was doing this. Oh, well, like it was just exhausting. Like I kid you not, like prime example, I remember we were on the train one time and I was in the middle of a conversation and I don't remember what I was talking about. And I remember the person cutting me off and saying, oh my gosh, my video's going viral right now. And I'm like, that's when I knew I had to exit the friendship, because once I realized like, all right, my happiness is starting to feel performative for you because you're like draining me of being able to be a genuine friend. I'm not hating on any opportunity, but it's the way that you present things. Because if someone's talking about themselves and talking about something else, all that goes through your head is people need to see me up here, up here, up here. So I'm going to take any moment that I can. And it was just, these people struggle to realize that not everything comes from them. They always have to insert themselves in situations so that they can feel like they're responsible for why they aren't where they want to be yet. Meaning like responsible for the lack of the success of another individual so that they can make it seem like, oh, it's because of them. Oh, it's because I invited them to this place. Oh, it's because I invited this person to that place. Like what people also don't understand is sometimes these types of individuals, they do see something in you. They know you have it. You might not realize you have it yet. And that's the issue. Because when they siphon your energy from you, you're left feeling even lower because you may not be as confident in them and in their nothingness. You know, there's so many different degrees to envious individuals. And in this particular one that I'm referencing, that person, like she knows when people have, you know, it, but at the same time, she can't handle when people are doing better than her. And that's when it starts to become a nasty competition and she's going to work relentlessly to try and like keep you like at a certain level because she doesn't want to be around people that are doing the same thing, even though that person may claim that that's what they want. But you have to be very mindful of people competing over things you were never competing on. And that's why it's hard for them to compliment you. It's hard for them to compliment you. They'll see something that they like and or hear something you say and, you know, create an idea from something that you literally said. And instead of saying like, oh, I was so inspired by you saying this, I actually made like a video or whatever. It has to be, no, that's their original idea. They cannot give credit to literally anyone else. But I thought we were, girl, it's a bunch of kaflum. And lastly, sign number seven, all right? The quiet satisfaction when you fall. Now, this can be due to whether they personally were involved in your sabotage and I guess downfall to some degree, which is what happened in my case a little. But when something does not work out for you, right? They are a little too okay at the fact that it didn't work out for you. They're a little too quick to be like, well, it just wasn't meant to be, you know? There's like a calmness and a peace and a happiness that they're getting from the fact that you lost an opportunity that meant something to you. There's a sign of relief that they feel because your setback has now rebalanced something inside of them where it feels like, ha, huh, I'm glad she didn't get that. I deserve that anyways. Like she shouldn't get that. She's, you know, she's this. Like they have to constantly have pep talks in their heads with how much of a loser you are, yet they keep hanging out with you. If you truly believe that somebody was worth nothing, someone is all of these negative things, why are you constantly hanging out with them? You ever ask that question? This is why I don't understand hate watching people. If you don't like someone, why are you obsessively hate watching them? It's because you do like them. You admire them so much. You're jealous of the things that they have. You're jealous of the lifestyle that they have. You're jealous of the relationship that they have. You're jealous of the followers that they have. You're jealous of the light that they carry, the intangibles. You're jealous of the access that that person has. The list goes on and on. I'm actually envious. I'm sorry that I keep using them interchangeably, but because they're not. But you are envious of so much, intangibly and also tangibly. I'm telling you, that's why they're going to be so happy when things don't really work out for you. And they're just so easy to be like, oh girl, well, next time, like good luck next time, right? So that is the one to take the most serious, because the others can be insecurity, but somebody who genuinely finds relief in your pain crossed into something a lot more deeper and darker, especially if that person is literally the one pulling the strings to manufacture your misfortune. And do not ever underestimate the fact that envious people will go out of their way to manufacture your misfortune. That's how disgusting and evil of a spirit it is. That is how murderous of a spirit it is, all right? So now that you guys have the signs, I don't want to just leave you there, because the signs alone can honestly make you feel very cynical, and cynicism is its own kind of prison. But here's what I want you to understand about envy. Two things. First, psychologically, envy is almost never actually about you. I know that it feels personal, okay, because the impact is very, very real, but the source of it is their own unmet longing. So when somebody envies you, they're holding up a mirror, all right? And what they can't stand is a reflection of what they've wanted and do not have. Like I said, in my case, it was, you know, just how I didn't participate in certain things, or how I was navigating on, you know, my channel and all the different things. And it was a mirror for, why does it feel like she's able to just navigate through this, and like I feel like I'm having my own struggles, whatever those were. And what they cannot stand is a reflection of what they wanted and do not have. They do not want to see that. And that's why you can't be friends with someone that's envious of you, because you can't help this dynamic. You can't. You just happen to be standing in front of that mirror, and the envy is the information about them. It's not a verdict on you. It's information about them. Okay, what do you not believe that you can genuinely do? Or what are you not strong enough to lock in and do? And so you're trying to, you know, you created a false facade. That's what I'm saying. It's people that don't truly want to do the work some of the time. And so they're upset that other people have it. And that's why they have to come up with a million excuses of why you have this and why you have that. Right? If you are, and then they'll project all their feelings onto you. Oh, well, I don't think this person really is who they say that they are. No, you know that that person is exactly who they say they are, but you're not. And that makes you feel insecure, because you're living a lie. You're the one lying about your journey in life and all the different things. And so it makes you upset to even fathom that you could be close to somebody that really stands on business and is exactly who they present to be. That bothers you. Of course it is. Of course it's going to bother a fake and fraudulent person who's pretending like they're on certain journeys and all these different things, and they're nothing of the sort. And particularly in my field of work in you know, social media, this happens a lot, all right? And second, this is where my faith comes in. You guys can take it or leave it, because scripture does not treat this as a personality quirk. It treats it as something that is corrosive. Okay, there's a proverb that says that envy rots the bones. It rots from the inside. And I've always found that so striking, because it tells you who actually carries the cost of envy. It's not the person being envied, it's the person doing the envying, okay? They are the one being eaten alive by it. And you can see it in their actions. You can see it in their demeanor. Like, they are obsessed with it. So when I clocked envy in somebody that I thought that I was friends with, all right, of course it definitely hurt. But underneath the hurt, what I eventually found for this person, or those people, I want to say all individuals in my life was actually compassion, because they're in a kind of pain that I wouldn't wish on anybody. All right. That doesn't mean that I keep handing, you know, myself to them and give them the same access to me. Absolutely not. But it means that I stop taking it as some sort of sign or even referendum of my worth. Okay. It's not of these people. When you have the wrong people around you, you will always be led down the wrong path. Your thoughts will be different. Everything about you will be different because you're clouded by whatever they're bringing to your table. All right. So what to do about this is, one, do not shrink yourself. Okay. These are three things. Listen closely. And I will also make a separate episode on this as well. But do not shrink yourself. This was the number one mistake that I made. All right. The instinct when you sense envy is to start downplaying your wins. It is to hide the good stuff. It is to pre-apologize for your joy. Do not do that. The day that you start dimming your light to make someone else comfortable is the day that you've handed them control of your life. That is what I did. Do not do that. Your wins are not an insult to anyone, so you should let them be big. End of story. Number two, have discernment over accusation. And I really want this to land. Not everyone who's having an off day secretly is envious of you. Okay. People, they can be tired. People are distracted. People have their own stuff going on. So you're not collecting evidence to necessarily put someone on trial here, but you're looking for patterns over time. And that is something I can confidently say that in all the individuals that I do not associate with that have had envy, that were envious of me, I noticed it was patterns over time. It was never a one-shot deal. So you have to realize, okay, a consistent, repeated inability to be happy for you is a pattern. So you have to watch patterns and not moments. And number three, you need to adjust your access, maybe not necessarily the love, because obviously it depends on who this person is. You know, if it's your family or something, you have to discern accordingly. But the freeing part is that you don't have to always have one big dramatic confrontation. You don't have to maybe cut, you know, people off that you can't cut off, like your family, but you have to be wise with what you share and who you share it with, especially as it pertains to family. Friends, yeah, you better cut them off. I'm sorry. End of story. I'm not dealing with that. Friends are a choice. All right. But some people will get the highlight reel. Some people you have to love a little further back, so you can keep your heart open and still be smart, you know, in your decisions. And in some cases, like I said, if someone is close to you, you have to discern accordingly. All right. Like, you can even say things like, you know, hey, I have noticed that it is hard for you when things are going good for me. And I do miss being able to share that with you, because it's not necessarily an attack. It's an invitation to, if you really care to, because I don't, girl, but if you care, you can see how they respond, and that will tell you everything in their response. If you just want to confront it, you know, and get it over with. So here's what I will leave you with. As you guys have listened to this entire episode, I'm sure someone came to mind, okay? I'm sure someone's face popped up. And I'm not gonna tell you what necessarily to do with that, but I do want you to sit with it honestly. And I want you to give yourself permission to stop pretending that you don't feel the way that you feel. Stop gaslighting yourself. You are allowed to protect your peace, and you are allowed to be happy out loud. And also, you are allowed to love people from a distance if that distance makes you feel whole. So if this episode is something that has hit for you, I want you guys to do me a favor, share it with someone who needs to hear it. I think we all could benefit from hearing it. You don't even have to say anything. Just send it. They will know. And yeah, you guys, make sure you're following the podcast Instagram. Our next goal is 10,000 followers on the podcast Instagram. I will have everything in the show notes down below. It's at Quality Queen Control Podcast. And let me know which of the seven signs you've lived through, because I have actually lived through all of them. So until next time, my loves, I want you to guard your peace, keep your softness, and stay in control of your life, okay? I will see you guys in my next episode. Do not forget that I love you and God loves you, and I'll speak to you beautiful angels in my next podcast episode. Mwah.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday.
Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.